I will vouch for that clicker. I'm going to go tomorrow to Art and to everybody.
Don't do that.
And I'll just be like, Pamela deserves better.
Just sweep it under
that,
the rug.
That clicker. And I'm going to make a big deal about it. I'm going to send an all staff.
I don't even know the terminology for this mouse. Like, all I could think of was clicker. It's not a clicker. It's a mouse. It just goes click.
Make a big...
She actually had to walk up to the screen and switch a knob.
Right? Yeah, she had to switch a knob. Yeah.
I know. You know, I've got a TV that still does that.
Do you really?
Yes, I do.
Great.
Yes.
All right. I like that. All right. Well, you know what? We do a segment coming up in the 10 o'clock hour called Swap Meet with Greg Flam, where we will evaluate your collectibles and your memorabilia. So that sounds like something you could probably, Greg could look up and be like, well, that TV is worth something because
it's worth
so old.
Nothing like everything else I have.
No, but if you hold on to it for like 10 more years, maybe
like, you know, my truck,
like your truck,
my
there
truck,
we go. See,
1999 Nissan Pathfinder.
There you go.
All it's right. Going to be vintage someday.
I'm loving the vintage Pamela Jones.
I am totally retro vintage right. Everything. All I even right. Live in a mid-century modern. How's that?
How about it? All right. We're learning every news break. We learn something new about Pamela. So that's going to be. All right. So download here, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up a little bit later, we're going to talk about Chicago's new Magic Lounge in Andersonville, 5050 North Clark Street. This is interesting, the history of this. And I'm looking forward to talking to Joey about it. But there really hasn't been a... Chicago has a great history with Magic, really does. But a lot of the history has revolved around either clubs, nightclubs, or restaurants, or bars having Magic Night, or having a magician on stage. But there really hasn't been a Magic Theater, a theater that is designated for Magic and Magic alone, and that's where Joey comes in. So we'll talk about Chicago Magic Lounge coming up at 9:30, and Greg Flam joins us at 10 o'clock. Well, it's time now for another installment of our new feature, Tell Your Own Story. Author and journalist Beth Finke teaches a memoir class, she still teaches it, a writing class to seniors through the city. She's been doing it for years. The goal is to get her students comfortable in writing down their life experience, their story. Last month, we met Regan Burke, who had just finished her memoir. And tonight, Beth is back with another student, 81-year-old Bob Eisenberg. Bob grew up hustling in the Maxwell Street neighborhood, and he still makes his living cutting and styling hair. He is in studio tonight. Bob, nice to meet you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And Beth also has an event coming up on March 15th. It's a talk she's given called Blind in the City, Not as Dark as It Sounds. Beth, of course, is blind and has written about it in her own memoir, as well as the book Writing Out Loud, What a Blind Teacher Learned from Leading a Memoir Class for Seniors. Beth, great to see you.
Oh, nice to be here.
Thanks for being here. All right. So again, why don't we just set, before we get into Bob's story,
okay.
You teach this class. It's really about getting seniors to open up and tell their story in the form of their memoir.
Right.
Where does it come from?
Was my teaching the class come from?
Yeah, give us the backstory of the class.
I wrote a memoir that I was lucky enough to get published in 2003 called Long Time No See, and it was about losing my sight and figuring out how to go on from there. I was promoting the book, and Joyce Gallagher, the commissioner of the Department on Aging for Richard Daley at the time, was in the audience. Heard me give my presentation and called me and met up with me and asked if I'd want to lead a memoir writing class for the city. And I said no, because I didn't know how to teach. I didn't know anything about that. It's kind of crazy because I was looking for work. And when I think back to that now, I think I've really come a long way because I really did not think I'd be able to teach this. But
well, obviously, with the book that you've written and also the continuation of the class, one of the things I remember from the last segment we talked about this last month with Regan, I love the fact that because you are blind, the students read their writing.
Yes.
Because that's a big part of it. So it's one thing to learn how to write your story and maybe put things down that you didn't think were going to be interesting or might be personal. But in your class, they have to stand up. They have to read their words.
Yes.
And how does that change the feel and what is being taught in the class?
Oh, that's a good question. It wasn't a plan. I didn't think, oh, this is, you know.
No, of course.
That's how you have to communicate, this is how I had to do
yeah,
it.
Right.
So, but how it's changed it is you really feel like you're telling your story and you're getting a reaction when you're reading it. If you've wrote something funny, they'll laugh. Or if there's something kind of shocking, there'll be a gasp. They get an instant reaction. And so they really have an audience. I have learned Well, one time I gave the topic, what are you afraid of? And a woman in the class was afraid of public speaking. And so when she was done, I looked at her and said, so this is really hard for you.
Right.
And she said, yeah, it really is. And so I'd kind of feel a little selfish that I'm forcing these people. But there she was coming to class every week.
Well, let's bring Bob in. Bob, why did you take the class in the first place? What was it about telling your story that attracted you to Beth's class?
Well, it's interesting to me because I have never written anything before Beth's class. And the memoir writing is something that I absolutely love. And I can tell you that it all started with me in first grade. I had a first grade teacher that wrote the cursive writing on the blackboard, and she asked us to copy the writing. I started doing it. She walked up behind me, reached over my shoulder, took the pencil out of my left hand, walked around in front of me, faced me, put the pencil right at my nose, and said, you're writing with the wrong hand.
Wow. Forced you to write right-handed, even though
forced
you were left-handed.
Forced me to write right-handed. Well, this was first grade, but it blew everything that I wanted to learn about writing. I never wrote.
Because I would assume it's hard, right? It became hard for you. This is too much work.
I would wait for the teacher to walk away, and when I knew she wasn't looking, I would switch the pencil over to my left hand and start writing with my left hand again, and she would catch me all the time, and it just ruined me for writing. I never wrote in any of my academics in grade school from that point on. And so I had a thing against academics and against writing. I never wrote anything until I was 78 years old.
I love it.
And then went to Beth's class and started writing. And, you know, the interesting thing was that Beth only allows you to write 500 words. Well, for me, 500 words was writing a book. But the 500 words are just the right amount. And I never wrote more than that. And I could tell a whole story in those 500
words.
Well,
let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back, and Bob Eisenberg will get into your story growing up on Maxwell Street. We'll talk a little bit about your time in Chicago and what you do for a living. It's our segment, Tell Your Own Story, with Beth Finke and her students. Tonight, 81-year-old Bob Eisenberg is going to tell his story. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, and we'll get his truncated story. 81 years, but we'll dedicate a couple minutes to it. It's a download. Stay with us. Thank you, Pamela. It's Download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin, Beth Finke in studio for our weekly. We should make it weekly. I said it last time. I said, let's make it monthly. Now I'm like, let's make it weekly. Let's make it daily. How many students do you have? This segment is called Tell Your Own Story. Beth teaches a class for seniors through the city on how to write their story, their memoir. In studio tonight, Bob Eisenberg, who is one of Beth's students. He's 81 years old, grew up in the Maxwell Street neighborhood. Now, a lot of young people who might be listening right now is like, oh, yeah, they got a great bookstore and bar and Mexican restaurant down there. But Maxwell Street, when you were growing up in that neighborhood, tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it was the Jane Addams housing projects in those days. And that was the big thing in that neighborhood. But my grandparents moved into that neighborhood in 1917.
Wow.
They had a cold water apartment, which I lived in when I was 11 years old, and with a cold stove in the kitchen. The bathroom had the claw leg bathtub, and we used to heat up, my grandmother and I would heat up the hot water on the cold stove in the kitchen. and carry a big bucket of hot water, both of us together, into the bathroom, pour it into the claw leg bathtub, and that's how she would take a bath on Friday night before the Friday night service that she was an Orthodox Jew.
Was Maxwell Street, as we watch documentaries or even the fictional, the Blues Brothers, things like that about Maxwell Street, is it do you remember it the same way as the full open market and the kind of bartering and trading and everything that was happening down there?
Absolutely. I worked for Sal's in the basement on Maxwell and Halsted, where I would stop people as they walk by and try to get them down to Sal's to buy a pair of pants or a shirt or a jacket, and I would get a commission on
anyone who walked in or bought. Yeah,
yeah. So I loved that neighborhood. I was actually bar mitzvahed on Maxwell and Halsted. There was an old Orthodox synagogue there where I had my bar mitzvah, and that neighborhood was the best. I had a neighbor that lived next door to me. I lived at 1331 Roosevelt Road, and my neighbor, Reuben Dunn, was a peddler, and he had a horse and wagon at Mush's Barn.
You're making that up.
On Grenshaw and Troop. And he asked me one day while I was on my way to school, he said, "Bobby, it's really busy this time of year. The summer's coming and I'm selling watermelons. Do you mind working for me on the weekends?" I said, "I absolutely love it." And we would go on his horse and wagon into the South Water Market, pick up the watermelons, put them in the back of his wagon, and we'd go down the alleys around the neighborhood, and I was the one that sat in the back of the wagon, and as we went down the alleys, I would yell out, "Hodemilo!
What?
Hodemilo!" And that was watermelon.
So that was your Italian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I mean, I probably made $4 to $6 a day, but
it was 20 cents a watermelon, right?
Yeah, something like that.
And South Water Market, isn't that right down here, Justin?
Here on Michigan Avenue.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So.
So that was one of my jobs. And in the fall, we pick up junk in the alleys, and we go down the same alley. The people, of course, knew us, and what I'd yell in the back of the wagon was, "Rags of Lion? Rags of Lion?"
Do you know what he's saying,
no,
Justin?
No, it's Rags of Lion.
Rags and old iron. And people would come down from their porches with their old
rags
furniture,
and
old
rags.
Stuff
they want to get rid of.
Yeah.
They want to get rid of it. And we'd pile it up in the wagon and take it to the junkyard and sell it.
Beth, how, and I feel like I really could dedicate a whole show to this. I really could do 4 hours. Every time you come in here, it's only the second time, I'm like, the time runs out.
And
I'm just like,
out.
I'm so mad because I want to do 3 hours with Bob to learn more. And we will. I'm going to figure out a way to do this. But Beth, I mean, that story and the way that you tell it, Bob, and the way that you've connected to your childhood. Beth, is that what you're trying to do when you try to draw these stories out of your students, to say you have a story to tell? Even that story, which you may at one point, Bob, said, there's not really anything there to tell, is great.
Absolutely. Yeah, you've got it. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. And I give a prompt that he wrote that story. Well, he was just saying it now, but I think he wrote it for the prompt of "The Best Job I Ever Had." So the class, somebody might write about a job they had when they were 40, and someone else might write about one when they had 20, you know, whatever. And so it goes around the class that way, and with each person reading out loud, you get to learn about each person that way. And they, you know, you can, Bob's a good storyteller, but and Bob's really good at dialogue, and so he can have Reuben Dunn talking to him and stopping him. And I think it's part of growing up in that neighborhood. Yeah. There was a lot of good conversation going on.
We'll end it there, but Bob, I want to have you back. Maybe as we continue this, you know, we can have you back and we can do a different chapter of your life. You know, it doesn't always, you know, go in chronological order necessarily.
Yeah, I have a website too that I'm putting my stories on.
Okay, what's the website?
BlissBob.com.
BlissBob.com. That sounds good.
Yeah. Bliss was the name of his salon. Next chapter. Bob became a hairstylist as an adult, so he had.
I want to know. Trust me, there's a lot in there, and your friendship with Vidal Sassoon, Vidal Sassoon. But again, I get mad. That's why I'm going to get mad now, because I feel like we could dedicate 3 more hours to this. Bob Eisenberg is a student who's writing his memoir, but also you can find out all of the stories at BlissBob.com. Of course, Beth Finke in studio. She is the author of Writing Out Loud, What a Blind Teacher Learned from Leading a Memoir Class for Seniors. And this segment, we need a good catchy title, but I like Tell Your Own Story.
I do like
For Now, I guess it works. Beth, Bob, great to meet you. Beth, great to see you.
Thanks, Justin. Thanks for having us.